Hey, Stripper Whisperers, Corey Michaelis here with my live stand-up comedy tour dates. If you don't want to hear them, fast forward 30 seconds twice, and then rewind 15 seconds once. I will be in Dubai doing a tour of shows there at the end of June, the 24th through the 30th. But the two big shows I want you to know about are July 10th, Historic Everett Theater, my hometown, with my best friend Andrew Rivers, and the night before, July 9th, at the North Bend Theater, his hometown. Super excited about those shows, so come out to one of them. Like, review, subscribe to the podcast if you're nasty.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Stripper Whisper, the podcast where I get behind the G-string and interview strippers about their lives outside the clubs, what it's like working in the clubs, and how we can all be good customers in their space. And we've expanded the podcast a little bit to talk to folks who work sometimes in the clubs as like a DJ or have never worked inside a strip club, but do other types of sex work. And today that's who we're with. Someone virtual who does some other types of sex work that we'll talk about. We're with Danny from Washington State. We won't get too specific. Just say Washington State. How about that?
Sounds good to me. Hi.
Say hi, Danny. Yes, welcome. The episodes are interesting all by themselves. We know that, just the audio. But before we get started, if you'd like to put a face to the voice, check out Danny on Instagram at TheInsatiableDannyB. If you don't know how to spell insatiable, figure it out. or another Instagram account that we'll learn about, Two Girls, One Wildflower, which is much cleaner than the other Two Girls, One Cup. I don't know about clean, it's cleaner, but it's still naughty, evidently.
It was supposed to be Two Girls, One Bowl at first, because it's mainly like we're in underwear or we're naked and smoking weed. But that was already taken, so we had to think of something else that was clever.
Wow, that was already taken, very specific. And well, you went with Wildflower, better than like Two Girls, One, you know,
yep,
heroin needle or whatever. Like,
it's, no, especially weed only. This time.
Also, on our Patreon page, you can see the video of the podcast that we will post as well. Well, welcome. I'm going to definitely need a shot to start this one. You're in a car, not driving, but going to be driving. So you probably won't be right. Taking a shot. But I'm going to, and I will tell people why in a moment, but cheers.
Yeah, I'll take a hit of my dab pen.
Oh, perfect. There you go. I won't tell on you. We'll take your version of how we know each other first and then mine. So go for it.
Well, that would be interesting. So about a decade ago, I was in your class and I remember walking in and thinking, well, that guy's cute. And then he stood up in the front and said, "Hi guys, I am Mr. M." I was like, "Oh, that's my teacher. All right."
Oh, that's funny. Well, yeah, 10 years ago, I had a relatively full head of hair and no beard. So I often was still at that age. Still at about 30 years old, probably mistaken for a student. So that's very funny that would happen.
Well, you had a lot of swag.
Well, there you go. And I dressed like, you know, youngish. I didn't. What was interesting was when I was substitute teaching, I was 22. I looked younger than I've always looked sort of younger than I am. And so I looked really young at 22. But I was trying to get a job, so I dressed like real nice. So it was, I think, to most folks pretty clear that I was not a student, but I don't know if they were 100% sure what I was. They were like, who's this guy? What's he doing here? Why is he? Is he a recruiter for some sort of college? What's happening?
Right.
But yeah, so we And then the reconnection happened through our Stripper Whisper Instagram at Stripper Podcast. And you found you. So how did you follow me, or did you learn about comedy that I did comedy and then learn about the podcast, or how did that work out?
Yes. So I heard about your comedy page first, and then I started following you, and then saw the podcast. And the past couple of years, I've been obsessed with podcasts, so that's all I listen to. And I've actually wanted to start my own.
Sure.
And I didn't really know how to do it. And I feel like my subject is pretty taboo and not a lot of people talk about it. And then I saw this and kind of got more into it.
Oh, great. Well, so yeah, it is a bit taboo to talk about any of this type of sex work stuff. And there's a couple out there that are pretty good, and most of them are hosted or run by women. And so I even felt a little bit like, I don't know if this is my place to do this podcast, but it's also my idea. So I'm not going to give away the idea. But what we've found, I think, in the year and a half or two of doing it is that it is good to have someone who isn't in the industry, who's an outsider, who's a customer, who's, you know, sometimes funny, to be able to like... ask the questions, because I am ignorant in a lot of ways, and but I'm not so ignorant that I'm disrespectful. I understand and can approach it from an angle of someone with ignorance, but respect. And that's worked out pretty well for the podcast. And you would have a different, you know, you would have a different take as someone who actually isn't even a stripper, we've learned through chatting.
You're right.
We'll talk about that momentarily, but I'll let me share my version. So I recognize, yeah, your face and your name, and remember having had you in class. However, did not know that when I was sliding into your DMs from my stripper podcast Instagram to offer you a to ask you if you'd like to be interviewed. In recent months, I've decided to start it back up because a lot of people have learned how to use, you know, virtual ways to be interviewed. And it's much less intrusive to interview you like this than to have you be like, hey, you want to come to my hotel room or whatever when I'm out or my house or, you know, whatever, when I'm out on the road. I would do a lot of interviews. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now. And
oh, wow.
So I would reach out and people would come to the hotel and I'd interview, but it was hard to get those interviews. And anyway, so we started back up. And so I went to everyone who appeared to be doing stripping or sex work based on their Instagram, who followed our page. And I messaged and said, hey, you follow my page. Presumably that means because you listen or you're interested or whatever. And so I've been doing a bunch of interviews. So I did that on your page. Again, if you're listening closely, that's the insatiable Danny B, D-A-N-I-B. We chatted and we set up a time, and you said, BT Dubs, I used to be in your history class at when you were a teacher. And I was like, oh, okay, well. And totally fine with me. You know, you're a grown adult woman making a choice to pursue a career. And I do a stripper podcast. So what am I going to do? Be like, oh, I can't talk to someone who I told about, you know, the War of 1812 10 years ago. it doesn't really matter. But if it matters to somebody else, they can take it up with me, but I doubt it does. And it doesn't matter to you.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, I can't possibly have made this up.
Right,
like in a
right.
million years, you wouldn't be able to tell somebody else, like, so my history teacher is now interviewing me about sex work.
Right. And so, clearly 10 years ago, or it was more, you graduated 10 years ago. So it was actually 12 years ago that you would have been in my class, or 13.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like 13 years ago you know, we had some sort of master plan to chat to chat right? about sex work. Ooh.
I mean, it might have been my master plan. I don't know.
Funny. Well, you did say you walked in and we're like, ooh. Yeah, back then I looked like I said, like a little kid. So I think I looked like an old high school student. So it probably was like Matthew McConaughey I didn't look like Matthew McConaughey, but like him in, what's that movie? Oh shit. Oh, I'm such a dummy. He's my old man.
It'll come back.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High is the other. Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. It's the weed smoking one. Somebody, write it. Write in right now.
I just watched it the other night and I can't think of it right now.
I'm such an idiot. Somebody email me right now. This isn't a live podcast, so nobody will be doing that. But anyway, so yeah, so, and so now, 10 years removed from high school, and, you know, I don't think you've been doing sex work for 10 years, as far as I can tell.
No.
So how did this come to be?
Well, first off, times are tough out there.
Sure.
Having a full-time job just doesn't cut it anymore when you live in like the Seattle area, you know?
Yeah, right.
So back in college, I moved on my own. Had a little bit of money trouble, and one of my friends at the time was like, hey Danny, have you heard of like being a sugar baby? And I'm kind of like, you hear it in movies, you hear sugar daddy, you make that joke all the time, but I didn't really know what that culture was like. Mm-hmm. And so she was explaining to me, like, it's super easy. You go on this like dating website and these guys just throw money at you, so you can go on dates, you can talk to them. Of course, she didn't actually tell me that it wasn't really that easy. I had to kind of figure it out on my own. Like, as a 19-year-old, it was kind of terrifying.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so since then, that's been, how do you describe it? Your side job, your...
Yeah. So yeah. Now I would say it's like kind of just like a fun side thing. Back then, it was like a secret. After I came home from school, after I got off of work, I went and did something. And so,
gotcha.
Basically, it's like when you meet up with these individuals, you can either, it doesn't have to be anything sexual. It could just be someone has been working their entire life, makes a lot of money, but is super awkward talking to girls and he has no idea how. And so I'm there because he wants the experience of how am I supposed to talk to girls. But this time it's like without that awkward, okay, I'm on a date, there's a lot of pressure, this is someone I'm like going to be paying to basically teach me how to do something. And right. Of course it's not all like that, there's like different other scenarios too,
right? There's sort of a wide range, I assume, of types of people. And you said people because I mean it's typically men, I assume, but there are probably experiences within the world or the culture with women or folks who don't identify either way.
Right. And couples. There's a lot of couples on there as well.
Right. Right. And so at that age, you primarily, like, the first experiences must have been a little bit, I don't know, awkward on your end a little bit.
It was, especially since I was inexperienced. I was a kid, you know, right. And my friends sent me off on these dates, is what you would call it. And you don't know what you're expecting. And because there's a specific language you have to use on those kind of sites, you cannot, there's a line between being a sugar baby and being a prostitute. And you want to be on the side of sugar baby and less of prostitution because that's illegal.
Right.
So, as you're learning it, one of the first things that really scared me, this was an experience I had. This individual was emailing me and made the plans. Like, okay, I'm going to be at this hotel. I'll be here for the night. And I'll give you an allowance of X amount of dollars. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'll meet you. But in his email, it was very interesting. Like, like every, there was like every other word was like out, underlined or highlighted or bolded. So it would say like, I will pay you for blank. And that would be like highlighted. And then like, yeah, so it got kind of sketchy and weird. And I was like, if this was a cop going undercover, he did it really stupidly.
You're right.
Because like now I'm just like, this is really weird. Why would you outline that? Unless this is like a secret contract that you're having me sign. That's some weird stuff that you're trying to get me to do.
He signed it with his name. Like, I am Paul McPig.
Yeah.
Like a cop pig? No. Sorry.
Yeah,
Jeff, Jeff McDonuts. All right, that's the same. So it felt almost like maybe a copy and paste with the fill in the blanks.
Right.
What was the end result of that? I mean, like, how'd that play out?
I actually got scared and ended up not going to that one.
Wow, okay.
I was like, I'm not about to land my ass in jail. I've got college to finish.
Sure. And did you hear from that person after you did you ghost, or did you tell them you weren't going, or?
I actually responded and said, you know what, something came up, I don't think I'm gonna make it.
Gotcha.
You know, and he responded trying to be polite, saying like, you know, I understand you're scared, but also, and then he just completely went off and was expressing how angry he was because I basically just stood him up. And you know, like, but like I said, that email was kind of sketchy. Like, you don't want to touch anything like that.
And this is, forget sex work, just men in general. There seems to be a pattern of some men who, nice, you reject them, even in a minor way or a polite way, and then they go nuts. Like, I didn't want to fuck you anyway. You're fucking ugly. And you're, I don't know what that's all about, but they literally prove you right.
Exactly.
Like moments of you saying no thank you, this guy or person, whoever, totally proved your concern right.
Right, exactly. So I was like, I'm steer clear of that one. So for a while I stopped doing it because I was scared.
Oh wow.
So I gained a little more confidence and experience when I was on Tinder for a little bit, because I need to get myself out there. For the longest time, I was like with an ex-boyfriend for about 10 years. So I didn't explore. I didn't really get to know who myself was. And so as I started meeting people and seeing what they like, how the interactions are, like what I can do to make things less awkward, I started going back onto that website.
Gotcha.
And then learning some of the things I did, like now I know when I'm talking to them and I'm wanting to get like a, like you want to be really subtle about wanting to get paid. So you're talking to these guys, more of them are apt to talk to you if you're not like, okay, well, I need to get paid when I see you. I say stuff like, I would love to meet someone, get to know them, have fun, but I wouldn't mind being spoiled, which means if they want to give you an allowance, if they wanted to buy you nice gifts, like you mentioned earlier, like a wish list. Sometimes they'll just send you stuff and then they just want to hang out with you or hook up or get pictures.
Right, right.
But anytime you have an individual who's like, so how much do you want from me? You're like, we're crossing some borders that I kind of don't want, especially when you're texting them.
Right.
That's all written down. So it gets even more dangerous. You have to talk to them in person about this, like make an agreement. And as long as you're not setting your price, but also like not ripping yourself off.
Right.
You're on the safer end.
That's wild. I think that, negotiating in general, when it's, you know, completely legal and no concerns about that is difficult. I mean,
right.
In my world, I just got offered a gig and I was excited about it. I learned what they paid last year and I thought it was too low. So I suggested an amount. And then they haven't responded. And I'm like, I mean, I would have done it for less, but you know, I didn't want to.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a ripoff to do it for what they paid last year. But at the same time, I didn't think that was appropriate. And I have to think about in comedy, like the next people, right? Like, if they get offered what I, and then they're like, why did you do it for that? Like, why did you do it for that much? You know, you're really hurting comedy by taking so little to do this kind of gig. Anyway, I mean, it's a private country club. I'm like, they have money.
Right.
Plus, and they're charging their guests for the show. So I'm like, charge 100 guests $2 more. Like, what? Who? They're not going to notice the $2. And that's 200 more you can give to the other comedian I'm going to bring or whatever, you know? So. So
right.
That's hard when it's not. And but in your scenario, do you have situations where you end up meeting up and they make claims that they didn't know that they were supposed to have, you know, that there was supposed to be an exchange of goods or, you know what I mean? Like, do they
their
pretend?
Husband.
Yeah.
And it can get really awkward, but at that point, there are some times where you kind of have no choice. Like, your hands are tied. You can't say, like, I have a contract with you.
Right.
Because then that becomes prostitution. Or, right. I mean, the best you can do is really charm them, hope they really like you and that they're not going to stand you up. And if that's it, then you're not going to see them anymore. So a lot of times I would tell them, like, I want to meet for coffee first. I want to see if this vibes. You know what? If I don't really like what you're about, I might not even want this arrangement with you.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. There was,
but because of the site you're meeting them on, that's the kind of understood.
Right.
What
so some people will ignore it completely and just be like, hi, I would like to hang out with you. You and I seem like we can make a really good pair. And you're like, but
it's
you're like 8 years
here.
Old. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
The thing is, if you're younger looking, you're about to spoil me and whatever, I get that. Like, I'm more willing to just go hang out with you and not get anything. But if you're like 80 years old and you're about to turn into dust and you're looking for like younger, like early to mid 20s kind of girl, do you really expect them to just look at you for free? Like, you know?
Sure. Right. I mean, that right. Right. You were, now when you said you were on Tinder, okay. Rewind just a little bit, just because I'm curious. Did you do any of this type of work while dating that person for 10 years?
On and off, yeah.
And was he fine, or did he know, or did he care? Or?
Originally, no. And then he and I were starting to fall out, and he realized I was just going to do whatever I wanted because I wasn't getting the life I wanted, and I just had to go after it myself. I realized I can't rely on anybody, you know?
Sure.
And he, as like sad as this is, like he loved me enough that he wanted to stay through all that. And I eventually was just like, no, like this is not fair for us to keep doing this, you know?
Gotcha. And then you started, you said that there was some, you know, time off or you needed some to find yourself and gain the confidence to know how to do this kind of work, not just the confidence to date or whatever, but to know to have. So on Tinder, were you just dating like a typical person who's on Tinder, or were you utilizing Tinder as an opportunity to meet people to be daddies?
I did not go on Tinder with the intention of meeting daddies. It was more like, it was for me to gain experience and like the confidence in how to talk to people. So a lot of the times, like my first few dates was really awkward because I picked out like really simple guys that are kind of shy because like I didn't know what I was doing. So I needed to like figure that part out. And then eventually I start graduating to like, okay, this guy is like clearly like he is popular. He likes to be around people. He likes to go clubbing. So now I graduated to the more outgoing part.
Oh, interesting. Now I have a similar, like I was married to my high school sweetheart. So this has come up on the podcast before, but we had only, you know, high school dating, then each other,
right,
and then a divorce and we're faithful. So, hadn't slept with anybody but her at 32. So in our last year, when we kind of knew we weren't going to be together, I went to strip clubs a few times because I was like, I think I know how to talk to people. I mean, it's kind of my job and stuff. At the time I was doing comedy a little bit and I was teaching at the same time, and I'm pretty outgoing. People like personable and conversational, all that stuff. But I'm like, that's as a married guy. Like, that's easier when right. sex isn't on the table or an option. It's easy to talk to anybody. Like, you know, there's no, I'm not uncomfortable. We're not, whatever, right? But then if actual potential future partner or sex is on the table, it's like, I don't know if I'm gonna know how to do that. So I went to strip clubs where in my mind it was like, well, these women, one, are part of the payment is to talk to me, and two, like, if I am successful at all in being charming, then I can probably talk to someone who's not paid to like me, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
Like, if I can charm someone who's paid to like me a little bit out of their, like, out of that mode, you know?
Right.
Not try and date them, not doing anything with them, but just, like, get them to talk about their real life, share their real name, mm-hmm. exchange a number. Then I felt like, okay, well, because they call them like hired guns, like a hired gun. If you can, like a really attractive bartender, if she shows interest in you that's beyond just trying to serve you drinks and get money from you,
yeah,
then that probably means you were relatively interesting or charming to them. So anyway, so I did right. that. I learned pretty quickly, like, okay, like, I'm fine.
Right.
But I didn't know.
You also have to like put a value on yourself too.
Right. Like I knew I wasn't going to be someone who needed to pay to like some of the people you're describing. By no means did I think that was gonna be the case, but I did have a like anxiety of like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how to date. I've never been on a date. I literally never been on a date other than like a high school dance. So
right. So there might be some people that are just like you and how you just described going on there because they're just like, I'm really awkward. I don't know who to talk to. And I've noticed that there are a lot more younger guys on there than there was before. And some of them are just like, hey, I travel a lot for work, or I don't have enough time. Like, I can't date traditionally. Mm. So I just want to meet someone once or twice a month and then like shower them with gifts, send them things, and then I'm out. And for like the modern day dating, I feel like that's like the perfect scenario. So you're not going to bother me for like a few weeks. You're going to send me stuff. You're going to leave and then just come back once or twice a month. And then we hook up maybe. Like I feel like that's perfect for me.
I mean, honestly, like a lot of, I'll say people, but men should just be doing that instead of what they are doing, which is probably, you know, some version of, you know, traveling and like having a girlfriend at home who thinks right. that they're exclusive or whatever, you know.
Exactly.
It's interesting. Like, I wouldn't have at 22 or 23, I wouldn't have done anything like any of this. But at 32, mm-hmm. when we got a divorce, I wouldn't have considered or known that that was even an option either.
Right. I mean, originally, everything also, was on the right list.
Yeah. Casual encounters, right? Well, I also was not anymore, but I was way too thrifty and cheap to, to be any sort of, and poor. To be any sort right. of daddy, but I still am a couple of those things, but I'm not cheap anymore, so that's good.
I think a lot of daddies take pride in the fact that they have money to show off.
Sure.
So some of them are out there to just be an investor or to be someone who wants to help. Like, they get that like daddy complex of, well, I want to take care of you. I have all this money. I don't know what to use it on, and I just want to spoil someone pretty to give me attention, you know, and It's interesting because a lot of them are pretty young too. Like when I started, I was thinking like, there's going to be a lot of dinosaurs on there. I'm going to have to like sleep with a lot of old guys, but there's actually some guys that are just like in their 40s and like around that age group. But so they're established and they just don't want that traditional, like way of life, like having like a relationship, kids and being married. And some of them are just in a sexless marriage and they're like, okay, well, I'm looking for someone young and dirty. Like, can you tie me up and treat me like a dog? And then I will pay you, but just don't tell anybody about it. You know?
Right. Interesting. Yeah. And that, that's a lot of them. I mean, a lot of this conversation is similar to men who frequent strip clubs and, you know, sometimes it's bachelor parties and, but the vast majority of patrons at a strip club are sort of like regulars or people who are in, who just want to pay for touch.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you have now, like you talked about sort of the graduating. So what does it look like these days? Or are you at sort of the height of doing it? Or are you... When was that? When was like the height? Like this was, my full time, or I don't know. Yeah. What did that look like? Right.
So, a little backstory is, I'm actually married and my husband and I are swingers basically.
Gotcha.
So, and it comes with, so it's less of me trying to make money now and more of me, hooking up for fun while getting some finer things, and I can go into detail, but
gotcha.
As swingers, before you go on Craigslist, like one of the first interactions we had was he told me, hey, by the way, baby, your ass is on Craigslist, and we got a lot of hits. And
so let me ask you that, did you go into the relationship knowing it was going to be, did you both go in knowing this is what you're you intended to do, or did it get brought up by one of you, or how did that play out? Do you remember?
So when I met him, this was after I broke up. And so I was still Tinder dating and like, I was still a little reserved.
Uh-huh.
Like my confidence level is great. So like when I'm one-on-one with someone, I can charm you into buying me a new car if I wanted to. But when it came to like sexual stuff, I was actually pretty shy. I was very like vanilla, very quiet. I think one of the craziest things I used to do was I liked being in control.
Okay.
So I would take the lead or I'd be on top, which apparently a lot of men absolutely love that.
Gotcha.
But
I've heard.
So when I met my husband, I had talked to him about not wanting a relationship. I want something really casual. I'm just looking for a friend to hook up with now and then.
Gotcha.
But he actually told me that he was a swinger and he was explaining to me what that lifestyle was like. And I went, wait, back up. So you're telling me I'm allowed to be in a relationship, but I can hook up with whoever I want. Because in my previous relationship, I wasn't really getting a lot of what I wanted. So I kind of had to do things in secret or do things discreetly. And now I'm just like, you're openly telling me I'm allowed to do this. What?
Gotcha. And that was appealing initially because that was what you were sort of looking for anyway, but you get the added bonus of having sort of a partner.
Right.
And, but then you guys, I mean, marriage, that's about the height of a relationship. So
right.
You made the decision to do that without, and there was no thought of like, well, when we get married, we'll stop swinging. It was just like, oh no, we'll continue how.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I would say it's something that like, it's a turn on for both of us.
Right.
In different ways. Obviously there's set rules of like what we like and don't like, and we only do things that the other likes.
Right.
And like, for example, like he thinks it's a turn on if I've come home painted in a certain fluid.
Got
and
it.
And so I don't know how censored.
Yeah, you say whatever you want on here. Yeah.
So he has a cum fetish and he likes it when I come home and I have it on me. You know, it's like gotcha. Evidence of someone else. And so that's what he likes. Me, on the other hand, I'm like, if anybody leaves bruises on you, I might have to attack someone.
I see.
But.
So do you, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we started with threesomes.
Okay.
And then we explored to foursomes and then we played with different group scenarios. And our favorite is if we can find like another couple or a pair that are bi.
Gotcha.
And then, so as we got older, I realized that some of the people that are on there, because there's actually a lot of people, surprisingly enough, that really want to join couples. And it's mostly male. But some of them are younger and they're kind of like, they live at like a bachelor pad, or they just don't understand and don't get the kind of lifestyle. Like I've had a guy get like, he threw a baby tantrum because I wouldn't come over. And
you wouldn't what? Because what?
Because I wouldn't come over.
Ah.
So, but it was like, no, but you understand I'm married. Like, I'm upfront with everybody. I tell them what's up. Like, I have a career. I also have a husband. So, I'm not always going to come over. Like, this is kind of a booty call.
Right.
And, but some of them just don't understand those boundaries. And so, I remember my experience on these daddy websites, where they already have established those boundaries because they're experienced. And not only that, a lot of them would be like, hey, do you want to go out for dinner, out for drinks? I will take you shopping. And like, that's what they like to do. So it's like, well, if I'm going to go sleep with people for free, I might as well find somebody who is going to spoil me while I do it and not just hang out at your bachelor pad and smoke weed all day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting. And so... is that, I mean, I'm imagining a difficulty. Yeah, if it's for free, where's the time in the day almost, you know, like.
And that's exactly it. Because there's a lot of guys that I talk to where, and again, it comes with like the phrasing and the verbiage where I would tell them like, look, I can make more time, but I have to work and make up for whatever wages I lost, you know? So like, if you want to see me more often, you're gonna have to help me out with that. But so they'll, most of the time will just offer it like, hey, if you can take this time off for me, I will compensate you for whatever you're losing. Cool. Like, why not? I get to take a day off of work and make the same amount and some, you know?
Sure. Sure. And, what have, are you comfortable saying what like sort of your rules are, or do you have like established things? Have those changed over the years? Like, how does that work?
They have changed over the years. Because I used to be so reserved. I used to strictly only want to hook up with single guys because I wasn't as open with my sexuality. Now I'm more open to meeting up with females or with couples. And sometimes that helps me with the content that I make or like the pictures and videos that I would take. And
sure.
I do have some people out there that will buy them from me.
Gotcha.
So OnlyFans being a website where it actually charges you and taxes you on it, I tried to find another way of making a profit. Yeah, gotcha. Exactly. So a lot of my followers or people who have followed me on OnlyFans, they will have my personal number or Snapchat, and then I will send them certain images that they want and they'll just pay me for it or send me gifts.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And as far as like your relationship goes though, like it sounds like I've met a couple who said, she said, he told me that she said their rule was they can do anything under the same roof. If they're both in the same room, anything goes, basically. If they are in the same building, same house, basically.
Right.
Then it needs to be like approved. Unless they're in Vegas at a hotel, then they can do whatever they want. Something like that. That was kind of sort of their description of, do you guys have like veto power or
do you,
how does that work?
So a lot of our rules do cater to specific individuals we see.
Mm-hmm.
We do have veto power, so I can talk, like we always have to talk to each other about if we're about to meet somebody or, and our other rule for safety reasons too is like, hey, this is where I'm going, this is the person I'm going to see, and this is their phone number. And the person you're going to meet has to also know that, hey, somebody else is looking out for me. And before I'm allowed to go, I have to be sure that they're okay with it. And he and I are both allowed to change our minds. Like I could just be like, dude, I'm bored. Can't you just come home? And no questions asked, we will come home. And if there's a certain individual that we are just not a big fan of, like we're allowed to say like, yeah, you cannot see that person, or that person in particular cannot touch your hair, something like that. Like it also, yeah, it really depends on the person, the chemistry you have with them too.
Gotcha.
And vice versa.
So you have to have some, a chat and get sort of some approval of what's happened. And then do you like each separately via social media or some sort of electronic way have your own things you're doing and talking and setting up, I don't know, like flirting and talking and doing that, or is it just like,
right now we have our own and we'll show each other. How we first started it when we were trying to get comfortable is there's an app we use called ThreeFun, and that's an app for, it's like a Tinder for people in our lifestyle, like swingers, people who want to swap, homosexuals, and you know, but it's a very, very like open and sexually like safe place to be, because that's what everybody's there for. And in your profile, you can specifically put, I'm only looking for this type of person, or I'm open to all. And at first he and I both shared an account.
Mm-hmm.
So it would list both of us on there and have a description of each of us, and then we can talk on it together.
Gotcha.
And I think there's an update now where two people can have separate accounts but link them together.
Mm.
And so like, let's say you had an account and you had a partner, whether it's a girlfriend, friend, or someone that you have relations with,
right,
you can tag them in it. So like if I was looking at your profile, I can click to them and then look on their profile separately as well.
Gotcha. Interesting. And have you ever considered or done any sort of like relationship, like adding anybody to your relationship beyond just play, like casual?
We have talked about it. He's totally down for me having a girlfriend.
Gotcha.
and I am not down for that. So for us, like the only relationship that happens is between he and I. We're always going to sleep in each other's bed. We're always going to come home to each other. Traveling, going on dates, the romantic stuff stays between he and I. The friends I have are just smoking buddies / hookups.
Gotcha.
And a lot of times I will choose partners that is okay with him being in the room or him watching or joining.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And you, on that note, had like your other Instagram, by the way, smoking Dazed and Confused is the movie we couldn't come up with.
Oh yes.
Hello. it was definitely confused and dazed. I guess I couldn't come up with it. So you have an Instagram account you share with someone who's, and what, I didn't look into that really. What is that?
So you're talking about two girls, one wildflower.
Yeah, might as well say it. Two girls, one wildflower. Yeah.
So my friend and I were just talking and shooting the shit one day, and we had talked about starting a podcast about this stuff, because for how young of an age I am, I have a lot of sexual experiences and a lot of funny, entertaining stories to go with it. So
sure. Yeah,
we wanted to start that, but like, where do we start? So we were like, okay, let's start an OnlyFans, let's start an Instagram, but you have to build a following before that gets bigger. She originally started her OnlyFans and was like, hey, why don't you join mine?
Mm.
And so our whole idea was, you know what, like, there's not a lot of females who are openly smokers out there, and a lot of guys find that as a turn on, because as OnlyFans, like, there's so many OnlyFans out there, you have to somehow stick out, whether you're posting niche, pictures of your feet or tattoos or weird piercings. So ours was weed. We were gonna just wear underwear, maybe not wear anything at all, skinny dipping, and it involves us smoking weed and like the conversations we would have during, because if you ever heard two stoners talk, sometimes it can be like the most brilliant conversation ever or the most useless.
Sure. Yeah, I'm thinking, I mean, you have the name of your Instagram already, but there's something 420 friendly, 420 more than friendly.
Oh, I like that.
That's fun. Something like that. At least as a joke, even if it's not the title. That's a fun joke. But okay, so that's interesting. So then you are sort of doing what you would already be doing with her, and then you're like, well, why don't we just publish this somehow, video,
right? Let's join forces,
pictures, yeah. And do it that way. You mentioned the idea or the interest in pursuing a podcast yourself, which I think is fun and a great idea, because you have so many wild and crazy stories. So I guess you've already said some fun and interesting stuff, but like, do you have some that you're like, oh, this is the one I always tell at parties because it was insane or whatever? And right. I don't want to like... anything. When we talk about this part with strippers, it has to be just careful and respectful of not being like, what's the creepiest, you know, because it's like, you're
right
now, you're doing what we don't want people to do, which is sort of treat us like we're not even, but we all are curious, like, what are the things that you had to deal with or were crazy, wild, and fun? So anyway, yeah, do you have some things that you had thought of in advance? You were like, oh yeah, this is the one I want to tell.
That put me on the spot, because like, I have so many stories that I can't pick just one.
That's why I blabbed for so long asking the question. So you to think of one, but anything really.
So the first threesome I ever had.
Okay.
So my husband and I had been talking, it was close to Christmas, and he's like, hey, are you ready for a threesome? And as adventurous as I am, I also was like, oh, I'm kind of nervous. Like, I've never done that before.
Gotcha.
So
until this point, you guys had been swinging, but never, never a threesome is what you're saying.
Right. So this is my first threesome. Period. I didn't explore threesomes and group play until I met him.
Right. And so this is the first time, but you were married at this point.
We were just dating.
Just dating. Okay. Got it. You called him your husband, but I see what you're saying. This is gotcha. Gotcha.
You know, me being so shy, I was like, well, I don't know. Like, that's really weird. Like, I've gone on dates and met with people and talked to them, like kind of like we are now, and that's not awkward at all.
Sure.
But for some reason, I had this complex about the fact that I'm like, so you and I will be sitting in a room interviewing who's going to fuck me next? Like, that's very strange. And so I proposed to him as a joke, like, you know, maybe one of these days it would be fun if you blindfolded me and handcuffed me and just not let me know.
Okay.
So he took that to heart.
All right. He loved that idea. Fair enough.
So I had told him, you know, I don't want it on Christmas. This is our first Christmas together. Let's not. But that was also like the shy part of me kind of stalling.
There.
But so we were hooking up, and he kept looking at his watch because he had just gotten an Apple Watch for Christmas.
Okay.
I'm like, who the hell are you texting right now? And he's like, oh, sorry. It's just, I'm not used to it vibrating. So now I just take a peek. I'm like, okay, that's normal.
Makes sense. And yeah.
So we have some foreplay. Yep. I'm tied up. And I'm blind, you know, and he's doing hand stuff. And it took long enough that I started getting bored.
Okay.
And I was like, well, will you fuck me already? And for anybody else listening who, like, needs a hand in, like, rough play, he just, like, shoved my face back in the pillow and told me, like, I will fuck you when I'm ready. And I was like, okay, I will shut up now.
Okay.
But as it progresses, I'm hearing stuff out in the living room, and I'm like, well, holy fuck, it's Christmas. I think we're getting robbed.
So
I'm like, what's happening? And so he goes out, does whatever, and I have my blindfold off, and he comes back in and again shoves my face back in. I was like, all right, not doing anything. But so then I feel hands on me, and I'm like, at what point from the bedroom to the living room did your hands get so cold? And it was feeling a little different. I wasn't sure what's happening, but then, like, I feel someone breathing on my neck, but I'm also feeling someone breathing in my face.
Okay.
And like, I'm using my hands to feel. I'm like, okay, that's one person.
Yeah.
And now this is another person. And like, I pulled my blindfold down, and the first thing I said was, "What the fuck?"
Okay.
But.
And what did you see?
It was I didn't know who this guy was, but he was hot as fuck.
Okay.
I wasn't complaining, but apparently this was one of his neighbors that he was friends with. And they've talked about it. They're like, he was like, well, do you want to come over and just like fuck my girlfriend one day? And he's like, yeah, sure. So his friend was like in the middle of doing laundry. And he's like, yo, come over. And he's like, I'm on my way. And that was probably the most beautiful interaction I've had, because I did not have to say hello. I did not have to have the awkward, well, I've had this many stitches in my life, and gotcha. I didn't have to say goodbye. It was nice to meet you. He literally came and he went.
Gotcha. He came and he went. Yeah. So, that's wild. And that now that's a two guy, one woman ratio.
Yes.
So what's interesting is it's three and it's threesome, but like people typically think of two women, one guy, where everybody is playing with each other. That's sort of the mind that, or men typically think of that, I guess. This scenario was just, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but they weren't playing with each other or doing anything with each other.
At that time, they were not. Sorry, got too excited over here.
Phone dropped. that particular night, not yet. No.
Not yet. Because he wasn't sure what I was open with.
Gotcha.
And at the time I wasn't sure what I was open with, because I was very strictly, like, growing up, I'm Asian. My family's traditional.
Yeah.
If my mom were to ever hear this, she would have an aneurysm and I would feel really bad.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Right. But he later on told me that, like, okay, well, I'm bi. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm situationally bi too. Uh-huh. And so eventually how we got into that was we then had a foursome. Because then it's as weird as it sounds, it's less overwhelming and less intimidating when there's four people, because now there's not two people on you. There's not, no one's getting left out. You're swapping. Sure. And the two individuals we, had that experience with, we're both bi. So
right,
when you're super high and drunk, everything feels good. There's like, you're loving life. Eyes closed, lights are dark, and then you just feel people touching you. But I think that was like one of my very first like female interactions, and it was actually like not bad, because it was kind of like, we started out hanging out, after everything was done we sat there, played games and talked, and then left.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I can imagine that wouldn't be over the years of like house parties, you kind of just, you tread that line, even when you're not in the lifestyle or you're not I mean, people joke about it. People sit on people's laps. People kind of, and then everybody goes home. Typically, right?
Yeah.
So I don't, as much as there might be people who are like, oh, I would never, I don't know that I believe, you know, they would never. I kind of more believe like, well, if someone gave you an indication that they were into it too, then you would, you know. It's
right.
Really that moment of like, I don't want to bring it up. And they don't want to bring it up. So it never happens or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can imagine a scenario where if people were a little bit more sexually open and free and honest, it would happen more. And it probably happens way more often than most people think. You mentioned your mom, she would have an aneurysm. Does anybody in your family know? Anything about any? Okay. And
no.
And he and his family, nobody?
Nope. None of our families know. Because his family is very, very religious and very, very traditional as well. And so, like, it's like, okay, make sure you guys remember always, like, you guys love each other. You guys only have each other in the world. And you have to trust one another because that's all you have. And we're kind of like, okay.
Interesting. Yeah. And have you found that to be at all common within the lifestyle? People coming from reserved backgrounds or lifestyles?
Yes.
Okay.
I find that the quieter they were in school, the more freaky they are.
Ah, gotcha.
So I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, like, and I can't speak for everyone, but sure, for majority of my friends, because we were so sheltered and so we were held to a high standard. So now it's like all of a sudden we're allowed to explore these things and it's okay. And once you realize it's okay, nobody else can judge you. Because like, it's actually very freeing. And there's a lot more people in this lifestyle than we actually realized. And it wasn't until I'm openly talking about it that people are like, oh my God, yeah, that, like, me too. And I have a few friends who are starting to go into this lifestyle and it's really funny because to them, they're like, oh yeah, I'm like doing some freaky shit. And then I talk to them, they're like, oh, never mind. I'm pretty, pretty vanilla, I guess.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's a huge spectrum within. That's why this idea even of a spectrum when it comes to sexuality or homosexuality is a little bit, it is way off. People, interestingly enough, at a conservative Christian college is where I learned about this, and he spoke about it as being more quadrants, and even that is probably not nuanced enough to really, but the quadrants being asexual, which we never talk about in America, bisexual, homosexual, heterosexual, and within each square there's people who are more and there's
right
here and there's way over here and there's over here and there's over there and there's movement. People move over the course of their life and there's people that are super much more, you know, and there's people who aren't sure, completely unsure, or they pretend to be very sure, but that's because really up here they're going, I kind of like a guy touching me, but I ain't telling anybody, you know. So,
right.
And
it's kind of sad to say there's a lot of people out there who are very shy about it,
mm-hmm.
which, like, I've known an individual that had a play partner, and they are very, very kinky. There's, like, a lot of, like, intense stuff they do, but the person that he wants to marry will be like vanilla, will know that about him, would know that he likes to dress in girls' underwear or like being tied up and stuff. But it's like, why do that to yourself though? Are you really gonna be happy if you're gonna hide that part of yourself?
Interesting.
And not be able to enjoy that with someone you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Right. Yeah, not to judge them, or I certainly don't know them. I wonder if it'll work, you know? I mean, that'll be an interesting.
Right. And I'm always encouraging people, like, you have to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Like, there's so many different types of sexuals nowadays, and it's very specific. Like, there's demisexual, sapiosexual, I hope I said that right.
Sure.
And people are discovering it a lot younger. Like, I have a lot of friends who are, well, not my friends, but like, I know some people that are in middle school and they're like, yeah, like, I'm actually demisexual and bisexual. And I'm like, how did you learn? Like, when I was that young, I was learning what cupcake I liked. So it's, you know, so when anybody asked me that specific, I'm like, I'm just Danny. I go with whatever I like. Like, I might like girls, but it also depends on the person.
Right. Well, and that scares a lot. What you described about the young folks really scares and freaks a lot of people out. And it's hard, you know, how are you ever going to convince them? But ultimately, most people with experience and knowledge in these subjects would say that's much more healthy, that young people, there's nothing wrong or bad, and it's better to help encourage them to find themselves and know about it. And having knowledge of sexual things doesn't translate to being more promiscuous or whatever. It's actually quite often the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
And what's promiscuity anyways? What does that mean? Is it bad? But yeah, there's the current Washington State bill for teachers and education that passed is being fought very, very hard. And the governor race, the guy who lost, Culp, really wanted to repeal it and had a lot of support. And I see parents with a lot of support in this. It's teaching our kids this, and this, which it isn't, but also you should be teaching your kids about masturbation at 12 years old.
A lot of kids discovered that when they were a lot younger themselves.
Yeah, maybe younger. Yeah, it's you know, a number of sex therapists believe it's really important for a young woman to masturbate or have a toy at a young age, you know, 12, 13, because of a number of reasons. One being that they can learn, oh, it's not this toxic guy who makes me feel good that I have to stay with because he made me feel good. It must be love. I could do this with a piece of plastic. So if for no other reason than that, which if you told any mom or dad that, I think they'd go, yeah, I'd rather them have that thought than think that a toxic person, you know, needed to be, you know, whatever. But still, taking that step to do it, to like gift to your 13-year-old child something masturbatory, they can't do it. And I don't have kids, so I don't know. I
don't either.
I feel like I would at you know, be able to have those conversations and do that, but I certainly didn't with my parents, so I don't know.
Oh yeah, like my mom, there was no talking about the birds and the bees. Like, I was not allowed to date till I was 18, and I wasn't allowed to date till I was married. So or like have sex until I was married. And I was just like, I remember when I was about 23, 24. And I was just telling my mom about my boyfriend at the time, and who's my husband now, but my mom was like, so, okay, you've been seeing this guy for 6 months now. Did you guys like do it? And I'm like, what are you trying to say, mom? She was, did you, you know, do the thing? And I was like, you mean, did me and my boyfriend have sex? Yes, mom. We've been dating for 6 months. We had sex. And her face turned blue, and she was like, oh my gosh, why would you do that? You would just hand yourself out like that. I was just like, man, if only you knew. I was like, I'm not a virgin anymore. Like, I'm experienced, and like I tell my friends and everybody in the world, you gotta test drive your car before you buy it.
Yeah.
It is a very big rule of thumb.
It's interesting. I don't know how it'll all play out in the next 10 years or our lifetimes. It's just all very bizarre. And that's a part of this podcast too, of someone who was really reserved, and we both were, my wife and I, and sort of like a little bit of a Christian upbringing, but we got involved in high school and college and put some rules on ourselves and didn't realize that it wasn't until, 32, 33 that we were like, oh, we are friends. We're like brother, sister. Oh, shoot. We didn't know that. Well, now that we know, let's high five and move on. And
right.
And so we talk all the time and we're great friends still. And we've learned how to pursue. And it's not just like sex. It's that whole, all of it. You mentioned the romantic that you only experience with your partner and your husband. And so all of that, we just were ignorant of and have learned. And she's great. She's doing great and happy. And I'm doing great and I'm happy. So
That's good. That's the important part at the end of the day.
And my parents, as much as they are fun and drink and party, that there's some earplugs on a lot of the things that I do and that I'm involved in. And so I push the envelope a little bit more with my parents probably than you do, or my mom. Cause I need her to kind of, if I'm going to do stand-up comedy, be talking about my life on stage in graphic detail, not even gross, but intrusive about my life to strangers, she needs to kind of get on board. And she has, she's great, but not quite with the podcast yet. So.
Yeah, that's definitely something I don't want my mom exploring. I don't need her knowing about my shenanigans.
Yeah, shenanigans, that's good. We won't send her the link, but you were great to talk to and very interesting stuff. And so glad that I reached out and that you told me. I'm glad you told me too, that I didn't just, because when I hopped on, I would have been like, I know you.
Like, I don't know if it's going to surprise him or not. And I hope he doesn't just be like, hey, end of interview.
No problem. Well, thank you for getting my interview consent. And
it was fun. I'm very glad.
She's, again, everybody listening, the insatiable Dani B on Instagram. And Two Girls, One Wildflower on Instagram as well. And now that they've OnlyFans is a real thing, they're going to be creating content together that involves two women looking good while smoking weed. So if that's your thing, follow and give them and Dani a bunch of money. How about that?
I would love that.
We are on Instagram at Stripper Podcast and at Stripper Whisper on Twitter, or at Stripper Podcast. I always get that wrong. I can't recall. But follow us and subscribe to that Patreon, because the video is always fun for this podcast for people to see who I'm talking to. Thank you again, and we'll see you around. Come to a comedy show.
Yeah, I'd love to. I actually was supposed to, and then everything was locked down and I didn't get to go.
Lockdown? What happened? Just kidding. All right. Right. Thanks so much, and we'll and I'll stop the recording. We'll say hi after the recording stops. Bye, everybody. Okay.